You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. John Budden, the man in the hot seats on this edition, joining myself, Alex Dunn, to look ahead to the best of Monday's racing. Lord Budden, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you, Alex.
How are you?
I'm pretty well. Winning nap on Saturday, so always good on slippery Saturday.
And we're recording this prior to Sunday's racing, so goodness knows what happened on Sunday. Could have had another winner, or could have not. We'll leave that up to the listeners to find out. But as for Monday's racing, it is pretty typical Monday fare, I would say. Not the best racing we've ever seen, but also not the worst. Carlisle, Redcart and Toaster in the afternoon, and in the evening, Leicester, Windsor and Punchestown as well. If you are having a two clear bet as well here at William Hill, then the two clear meetings are Carlisle in the afternoon and Windsor on the evening tomorrow. But some decent enough fare, isn't there, John?
Yes, there is. I'm going to Carlisle myself, hopefully. And it's an 8-race card at Carlisle. The first meeting on the flat so far this season. So it'll be quite a sort of interesting do, really.
So you'll be at Carlisle. We'll have Ken Pitterson live in the studio from Windsor as well on Monday evening. So I'd say quite a nice Monday, actually. Not too much racing, but not too little either. And hopefully we can point you in the direction of a winner or two on this edition of the podcast. One winner that John Budden did point you in the direction of on Saturday was Ribchester, of course, in the feature race. The Lockinge returned the 7-4 favourite and got the better of Lightning Spear in second at 9-2 and Breton Rock back in third at 25-1 on pretty testing grounds, John. Newbury, all through the day, they were strung out all over the place, weren't they?
Yes, I think that's what needs to be sort of emphasised about yesterday's racing, Saturday's. The ground was very tough at Newbury. It was really soft and tacky, and the horses were finishing extremely tired. And it was pretty soft, too, elsewhere. Newmarket, arguably the best going, but even there, it was pretty well on the good to soft or soft line. And I think people have to take that very seriously into account.
Yeah. It's one of those races that you look back at, the Lockinge, and just go, how on earth did I not back that? Because I think everybody who I spoke to yesterday in the office or on racing radio or anything like that, we were all of the agreement that Ribchester's claims were absolutely bombproof. They were so solid. Yet at the same time, it would appear that I've just passed up a 7-4 winner that I couldn't really pick fault with.
No, I did think that Ribchester's form was absolutely the top dollar as far as yesterday's race was concerned. I mean, right the way through last year, improving every race, unlucky, for example, to be behind Galileo Gold in the Sussex Stakes. People too tend to forget, too, that Ribchester actually finished third in the Guineas. At the beginning of the year. And then, of course, won extremely well at Deauville, absolutely thrashing Galileo Gold there, and ran a very decent, respectable race in Dubai, third at Maidan on the last occasion. I thought he'd really had got a very good chance on the form. And Richard Fahey was bullish about Ribchester. Not before yesterday's race. He didn't go, you know, over the top there, but had been earlier in the season when he said the plan was to go for the Lockinge, and he really did think that Ribchester had developed. He was much more powerful than he was last year, and also he'd settled.
And crucially, handles the ground.
And handle the ground, of course, yes.
Which, of course, was a massive factor yesterday. I suppose the only reason why people may not have backed it, myself included, is because you look at the likes of Galileo Gold and Lightning Spear, who ended up finishing second, and going, oh, well, they're good horses in their own right. But at the same time, Ribchester does look pretty top draw. And I know that the ground was not maybe a leveller, but something that could be used an excuse for a lot of horses in that race, whereas it did suit Ribchester. But I don't think you can take that much away from Richard Fye's runner.
No, I don't think you can, Alex. It was a very good performance, and I don't know whether it was the intention to make all the running, but he basically did. I mean, from a very early stage, and that takes quite a lot of doing. Mm. And he stayed on well towards the end of the race, and I thought it was a very good performance. One or two people, even those in the studio, suggested it wasn't a vintage Lockinge. Well, perhaps it is fair to say there wasn't an absolute star in the race, but it was a fairly high standard overall. Mm. I thought Lightning Spear was going to run well because he likes the ground, of course, and did. I suppose the disappointment was Galileo Gold, but to a certain extent, Hugo Palmer's horses haven't quite hit their peak. And also ridden very much away from the opposition, and probably not suited by the ground.
Okay. Well, we've got a few Hugo Palmers running that we're going to focus on in the next few minutes or so. Interesting that we're talking about the ground. And as for the ground on Monday at Carlisle, as we record this on Sunday lunchtime, it's good to firm, good in places. The same for Redcar as well. At Toaster, it's good to soft, good in places. Windsor is good to soft. Punchestown is good. And Leicester is soft, heavy in places. Mm. So we'll have to wait and see. Obviously, that could change for better or for worse in the coming hours. But certainly interesting to note if you are having a bet on Monday. We'll start at Carlisle then with the 320, which is a handicap over almost a mile. We'll call it a mile, nearly. 7 furlongs, 173 yards. And this looks typically wide open, Lord Budd, and these are the kind of races that are your meat and drink through the summer months, but that doesn't make them any easier, does it?
No, it doesn't. Incidentally, Mrs. B tells me it absolutely poured with rain at Carlisle throughout Saturday night, so I wouldn't be at all surprised if the ground wasn't just a little bit softer.
Okay.
At the Carlisle track. I hope it won't be, because my selection in this race would prefer it to remain good. Yes, this is quite an interesting race. We have Fingal's Cave right at the very top. I think the handicapper has been pretty unfair to Fingal's Cave, but Philip Kirby's horses are running pretty well. Also in this contest, we have Heir to the Throne, and that horse has been running well. I thought it was a good second at Redcar on the penultimate, and then went to Thirsk for that highly competitive race, the Thirsk Hunt Cup. You know, there can be more angst in the Thirsk Hunt Cup than lots of races. It's always a very tough contest, run at a flat-out gallop and around that sharp track at the bottom, all kinds of trouble. And Heir to the Throne, in fact, finished 12th in the Thirsk Hunt Cup, with one other runner in this contest behind him. We'll discuss that in a moment. Courier runs well at Carlisle, and Marjorie Fife's got her horses in very good nick, and ran a perfectly sound race at Catterick over 7 furlongs. Quite a competitive little race it was. I went for Coronation Day in that contest, and Coronation Day sulked because he wasn't able to dominate from the start, and eventually finished 4th behind Bahamian Bird. Courier could improve on that. Old favourites too here. We've got Plumber Floor from Richard Whittaker's yard. Hasn't yet struck much form, but this is a consistent horse. And Billy Roberts too, from the Richard Guest yard. Guest is having a pretty good start to the season, but Billy Roberts was quite well beaten last time out. So we come therefore to the horse that I thought had to have respect in this race, and that is Hidden Rebel. Now I hope there won't be too much rain, because Hidden Rebel's better on good ground. Alistair Willans trains this mare for a local to Carlisle, a farmer and his wife, John and Sheila Wright, who just come this side of Gretna. Ran well behind Roller 2 outings ago at Redcar, and was in the Thirsk Hunt Cup. Not well drawn, didn't have a great run, finished 13th, but did win well at Carlisle last August, and if the ground is reasonable, I thought Hidden Rebel had a fair chance.
Okay. One horse that you did mention there, Courier, of course, trained by Marjorie Fife. Barry McHugh is set to ride that one officially on the race card as we record this, but he, of course, had an incident in the paddock, didn't he, at Thirsk on Saturday. So remains to be seen whether or not he can take up his ride. I'd be surprised if it is the case. But we're sending our best wishes to Barry McHugh and also to Barbara Dare, Hughie Morrison's head girl, who also got a kick yesterday. That was at Newbury. So fingers crossed for a swift recovery for both of those. But the pick is Hidden Rebel, John.
Yeah, I think Hidden Rebel, provided the ground doesn't get too soft, I would be surprised if Hidden Rebel runs were the ground to become heavy, yes, for example.
OK, we'll move to the 6 o'clock at Carlisle then. We'll be jumping back in time for two races at Redcar, but we'll stick with Carlisle for the time being. The final race on the card is the 6 o'clock, and this could be a two-clear winner as well in this race, purely because it's over the extended 2 mile, 1 furlong trip. Stamina really coming to the fore, and basically, we know everything we need to know about every single horse in this race, John. Some real old favourites in there. One non-runner, I will say, already confirmed. Oratorio's Joy does not run, but still leaves us with a field of 9 as things stand. And there's some real old favourites in here, John.
Yeah, it's going to be a real tough old slog too, Alex. We've got Medina Sidonia near the top. This is a Tim Easterby stayer. Does definitely prefer the top of the ground, so just might be inconvenienced if there's any further rain. One of my real old favourites, now 12 years old, almost as old as in horse ages as in my human age. La Bacchetta was Ian Jardine's very first winner at Manchester Bridge, when he only trained then about sort of half a dozen horses. He now trains nearly 80 up in Dumfries, so you can see how he has progressed. La Bacchetteuse continues to win, won at Musselburgh last time out back in October. Tom Eaves rides today. La Bacchetteuse has scored at Carlisle. Bit disappointing on his last two runs, though, at the Cumbrian track. Jan Smuts runs in this race as well. And Jan Smuts was behind, as indeed was Medina Sidonia, was behind La Fritolaire when they met at Ripon recently. I think Jan Smuts might manage to improve on that. Wilf Story had a decent winner at Wetherby. I think it was Sundowner. And he booked Conor Murta to ride that horse. And Conor Murta won very comfortably on board. And Conor Murta is on board here too, Jan Smuts. At a price, I think Jan Smuts might go pretty well. But the form would suggest that James Given's got a big hold in this contest. La Fritolaire has to be seriously respected. Won well at Ripon, and with some of these horses having their first runs of the season, others finishing actually behind La Fritolaire, I think that that particular horse has got a very good chance on form, so I'm going for La Fritolaire.
OK, La Fritolaire getting the nod. James Given's runner in that Carlisle 6 o'clock. We'll move to Redcar then, and the first race from Redcar that we're going to talk about is the 3:40 race. A handicap coming up here over 5 furlongs, another one that looks wide open. You've got a real mix in here, John, of horses that we know plenty about. The slightly more exposed runners, the likes of Lexington Place. Then we've got some horses that are very unexposed, just near Lexington Place on the race card, a little further down to Dakota Gold, who was a winner when last seen for the Dodds team. And then in and amongst that, you've got 4- and 5-year-olds who could still be improving or could have bottomed out completely. It's a tricky one to call, this.
It is a tricky one to call. And again, there's often the case of the draw at Redcar. I tend to favour centre to far side at the Cleveland track when the ground is not soft, and it isn't apparently going to be soft at Redcar tomorrow. Quickly, the top one on the other top is Bathsheba. Runs really well for Nigel Tinkler, who has booked Sylvester D'Souza to ride Bathsheba. I was impressed with the way the horse ran at Doncaster behind Acclaim a Nation, Eric Alston's sprinter, only beaten a neck, and has run fairly well at Redcar before now. Fast Act is one, possibly the question mark horse in the race. Improved last year, won its last two races of the campaign, and if fit, could hold a serious hand in the contest. You mentioned Lexington Place, Alex. Ruth Carr, she's made a great start to the season. The horse is running really well, And I thought Lexington Place was an extremely respectable sixth first time out at Beverly this season. Could go quite well here at Redcar. Drawn three, which will mean tending to come down the far side. Tim Easterby has Accessible, who was a winner here last time out. No, winner at Thirsk last time out. And that was an improved performance. And if Accessible can repeat that sort of running, he's got to be one of those who's going to be finishing near the frame, if not in front. David Allen rides too. He very often rides La Bacateurs. And quite clearly, Tim Easterby said, you ride Expressible here at Accessible, rather, at Redcar. I'm going to go for the bottom one, though, Dakota Gold. Michael Dodds' horses, in my view, are just coming into a touch of form. Had Finn Class winning a slightly surprising win at Thirsk recently. And I think the team are beginning to warm up. And I thought Dakota Gold ran well at Thirsk, beat Computable in good style, and could be the progressive improver. So I go for Dakota Gold to beat Bathsheba.
Okay, Dakota Gold getting the nod. You said the one down at the bottom. Not quite at the bottom, John. Number 10 on the race card, there is Lydia's Place below Dakota Gold.
Who actually ran pretty well to win at Beverly.
And absolutely.
I napped last week and saved my pound because slightly typical fashion, Richard Guest did not run Lydia's Place at Wetherby.
That is true. But Dakota Gold gets the nod.
Yes.
In that 3:40 from Redcar. The final race we're going to look at is the 4:10 from Redcar. This is a filly's handicap over a mile. These are typically pretty difficult races to call, whatever happens, John. And then you throw in the fact that you've got your sort of typical northern performers, the likes of Cabal in there. There's two that stick out like a bit of a sore thumb here. First Moon for Hugo Palmer and Josephine Gordon, and Kamari for Matt Johnson and Dane O'Neill. Two horses, one making their, well, both making handicap debuts. They do really, really stand out in a race like this, don't they?
Well, they do really, as potential improvers, Alex. I quite agree. Kamari, one of Redcar maidens, has got course experience here. Mark Johnson's horse is in pretty good shape. It'd be difficult to know how good she is, but nevertheless, she could well be an improver. I do like First Moon. Just two things about this. First Moon is trained by Hugo Palmer, who's having a bit of a torrid time at the moment, but he's bound to improve. He's an excellent trainer. And I thought First Moon, having a handicap debut here, having run three quite decent races, was placed at Kempton last time out. He's been ridden by Josephine Gordon. I'm pleased about that because we were told that Josephine Gordon was going to be closely associated with the yard, Hugo Palmer's yard. But a glance at the recent runners, not necessarily the really top-class runners from Hugo's yard, Josephine Gordon has not been riding them. She is today. I thought that she's got all the ability to really make a name for herself, having lost her claim in her first season as a professional, fully qualified rider. And I hope she gives First Moon an excellent ride. I'm sure she will. I think the filly, to me, he's got a very good chance of winning, and I will go for First Moon. Must mention Cabal just before we go to the end. Very consistent horse on the all-weather and on the turf. Getting on a little bit long in the fang at the moment. But Jeff Harker, you know, loves Redcar. He very often has winners at the course, and Cabal has run extremely well without winning at Redcar on a number of occasions. But on this occasion, I prefer First Moon.
Okay, First Moon gets the nod. Cabal looking for her ninth win at the 86th time of asking, by the way. A real grand old stager for the Harker team in that red car contest. Great stuff then, John. Can you just sum up your four selections, the two at Carlisle and the two at Redcar on Monday afternoon and a little bit of the evening?
Our first selection then is at Carlisle in the 3:20, and that's Hidden Rebel. And then, from the time point of view, the next one, the 3:40 at Redcar, Dakota Gold for Michael Dodds. The 4:10 at Redcar, First Moon for Josephine Gordon and Hugo Palmer. And the 6 o'clock at Carlisle, we're going to go for La Fritillaire.
Great stuff. Thanks very much, John. Enjoy all the racing on Monday. Enjoy your trip to Carlisle, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you very much, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.